Want truly hydrated skin? Meet Osea's body care breakthrough, Hyaluronic Body Serum. It's clinically proven to increase hydration by 161%. It's lightweight, fast-absorbing, and delivers 24 hours of hydration for silky smooth skin without any sticky afterfeel. Treat your skin to clean, vegan skincare from Osea. Get 10% off your first order with code SUMMER at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code SUMMER.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Wake up, Lincoln.
Come on, it's 6 o'clock. Rise and shine, rise and shine.
It's time for Early Break, brought to you by Gaina Trucking. Live from Lincoln, America. Here's Jake Sorensen.
Did seem kind of meh.
Husker Online, Steve Sipple.
Surprisingly good.
And longtime college football assistant coach, Bill Bush.
I want to buy a couple ducks. I'm bringing two ducks to the office.
This is Early Break.
Good morning, happy Thursday to you, Steve Sipple, Jake Sorensen, Bill Bush on Early Break. Hope you didn't spend all your night watching the NBA draft last night. I watched the first 7 picks by mistake last
night. What's wrong with you?
I was eating dinner and the NBA draft was on. I said, well, this is the only thing that's being shown this establishment.
Tell me about the highlights from the first pick.
I've never heard of the first pick. Is a guy from France. I can't even say his name properly right now.
Come on, are you going to do this to me?
Sip, he averaged 10 points a game and 3 rebounds a game last year in France. He's got good height. He had a couple blocks in the highlight montage.
I was interested in the draft. So
did you watch the draft?
Yeah, the guy's name is, it's hard because it's misleading. He's a Frenchman. It's like Risnacher, but it's Rishnashne or something like that.
Fancy.
Yeah. I was interested in what was going on. I think Bill would be interested because he'll recognize some of the names like Khalil Ware, the Indiana center that we watched, all of us, the three-legged stool, was drafted by Miami 15th, which I was flabbergasted by. He had terrible body language. Remember that guy?
Oh, yeah. We talked about it the whole time.
Palms up the whole game.
15th pick overall to Miami.
Go ahead, Steve.
No, you go ahead.
I was impressed with the only thing that impressed me in the draft was top 10 picks, 2 centers taken.
We're back.
Top 15, maybe 3. I mean, because where's the center?
Yes.
Yep.
But top in the top 10, 2 of them went. I mean, Edie was 9. And
that's right. To Memphis, I believe, right?
And, yeah. Here's the deal.
And the Connecticut guy went 7th, I believe.
Klingon dropped off the face of the earth because he went to Portland. Okay. Yeah. I mean, he might as well have went to.
Yeah. We'll never see him ever again.
Yeah, no, we'll never hear from him again. Yeah. He'll be in the witness protection program. Yeah. The first pick was Zachary, and I don't know how to pronounce his name. It's spelled R-I-S-A-C-H-E-R. So I think it's Rochier or something like that. The Hawks took him. He's a Frenchman. The Wizards took a Frenchman named Alex Czar. Alex, my grandson, says Czar is a future all-star. Now, he got the finals wrong, I know. And he said that
Mavericks.
Yeah, and he said that another guy was a future all-star. While we're doing this, though, you guys would be interested in Edie. I mean, Edie went to Memphis.
Yeah.
So he's going to be with Jaw and Jaren Jackson.
How about that?
Now, that's a loaded up roster, and he could start there. Edie could start for Memphis.
I just love the fact that it was.
They're loaded. So they got that.
There's always bust. There's always bust. But the Desmond people Bain. making these decisions of they spend their life in the NBA and basketball. So there's always going to be bust, but they have some ideas. Remember, as before, it was like they said Edie was undraftable. That was said a year ago. Not being drafted.
Not by me. He was seen as a late second round draft
late
pick.
Late second round pick at best.
Now he was ninth. So it's Edie, Ja, Jaren Jackson, and Desmond Bain. Memphis will be good. And I'll tell you something, Memphis will sell out. I mean, that place will be sold out all the time.
When was the last time you watched Edie play and you're like going, I hate how he plays that. Yeah. He's not a teammate. He's poor body language.
Never. Intangibles are through the roof good.
Fran Fraciolo says he's one of the best big men in the last 25 years. Probably the best.
Well, the thing with him also is that he plays all the minutes. Fran, he wasn't playing 20 minutes. Yeah. He was playing 37 minutes a game. Like, that has to mean something for an NBA team. He doesn't need to go spurts. He can play almost the whole game.
He might be able to start there. You pair him with Jaren Jackson. Now, I don't know if you guys know who I'm talking about. Jaren Jackson, when I was in Memphis, we saw him play the Magic, and he dominated the game. He scored 30-plus points. He's a power forward. He could play center. But I think if you pair Edie and Jackson with Ja. Whew.
Think who passed on Edie out of college.
Who?
Well, everybody almost did.
Basically, everybody.
Basically, I mean, they
he was a project, though.
He was a project. He didn't start at IMG.
He
did not start at IMG. Purdue says, we're going to take a shot at this guy.
Ninth overall. Klingon went seventh overall. Guys, see, we can speak with some authority on this. Don't act like we're stupid. Yeah. You watch Klingon and Edie in the national title game. I thought Edie was better.
I did, too, and I thought going into it just the opposite.
100.
Just the opposite.
Same.
I
was shocked by it.
I left and I go, hang on a second here. After that game was
over. Edie looked better. Jake, you watched it.
I did.
You have opinions?
I thought that Edie looked great in that game. Again, Purdue got rolled by the end of it by UConn.
I thought the draft was fairly interesting, actually.
Well, I just didn't know.
Here's another interesting thing about it that freaks me out. This is the kind of stuff that freaks me out. The Spurs took Stephon Castle. You know who he is, too. You guys watched him. He played for UConn. They are saying that he could have been one overall if he had a better jump shot. I see no one overall in Stephon Castle. He averaged 11 points a game at UConn. Shot 29.7% from the three-point line. And he's the fourth overall pick. And what's he got? Yeah.
And Connect went 17th.
That's another interesting one.
Story. You thought he would be a top 10.
Well, yeah. I mean, there was talk of that.
He was like, what, sixth or seventh on their original board of best players in the draft?
He went to the Lakers, yeah. He went to the Lakers.
So that was a good draft value for the Lakers then.
I think so. I think it was a good pick for the Lakers. He's really aggressive offensive player. And then I quit at Tristan Da Silva at 18. Alex was talking me through it. He didn't know much about Da Silva. I don't know anything about
also,
him.
I believe in the top 20. Mike, did I see this wrong? Because I was blown away by it. The University of Colorado had two picks.
Yeah. They did. Well, Silva was one of them.
Cody Williams was one.
They barely made the tournament.
Yeah.
And they had two
first round
top 20 picks. Top 20.
The Orlando Magic took Tristan Da Silva from Colorado at 18. And Cody Williams, mentioned, 10th. He went 10th. To the Jazz. You're right. They had a 10th pick and an 18th.
Imagine that. Colorado.
Barely made the tournament.
Weird.
That's incredible.
It is incredible. I'm trying to think like if Nebraska, when they had Ty Lue and Vinson, they made the tournament.
But well,
Vinson
was the last pick of the second
round.
Yeah,
it wasn't quite
the
same.
He wasn't a first round draft.
And Lue was low too in the first round.
But he's a first rounder though.
Yeah, he was low though. So not quite the same. Yeah, that's amazing. That is amazing. Colorado,
NBA.
You said they didn't make the tournament?
I think they did.
They did make it.
Didn't barely. Were they a play-in team?
Yeah, I think they're an 11 seed, I want to say.
Yeah,
11 or 12.
Barely made it.
Yeah, Jake, so I was surprised by your posture on the draft.
I just told you this.
It wasn't bad.
I'm watching the draft.
What was the third highlight?
I see the third overall pick, Reed Shepard from Kentucky.
Yeah, shooter.
Freshman of the year in the SEC, goes to the Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
And I just enjoyed because they were showing the montage and doing the rap the analysis of the pick, and the third highlight they show of him in the montage is him making a free throw, and they said he makes his free throws. I said that's an important thing. I'm not trying to shoot that down. It's very important to make free throws. But I thought it was a little odd.
No, you better be careful.
When in the montage,
they're showing him making
a free throw.
No, you're doing it wrong.
Why?
Because Shepard shot 52% from the 3-point line. That's an incredible number.
I said free throw.
Free throw.
I know, but you're downplaying Shepard.
No, we're not downplaying at all. No, that's not your normal thing, Steve.
What, the show him a free throw?
Show him a free throw. I'm not downplaying. Your third pick?
I'm not downplaying Shepard.
No. They just showed him shooting a free throw. That's not a bad deal.
Then they said he makes his free throws. Yeah. Wasn't common on
probably
it.
Makes him at a
show him hitting. Show him hitting a couple threes. How about that
52% from the three-point line?
That's ridiculous.
My God. He's the best shooter in the world.
Still only about 12 points a game, I believe, this year at Kentucky. But he's got potential. Reed Shepard does.
Yeah.
Baylor Shireman of Aurora.
Oh, where'd he go?
Creighton, South Dakota State goes the last pick to the Celtics. So he goes to the world champions in the last pick of the first round.
Oh, no final kidding.
Final pick of the first round. Baylor Shireman goes to the Boston Celtics, the new champions of the NBA.
Nice.
Wow, not a bad place to end up there.
Shireman, what's
this? Tough to crack a spot there with how loaded they are on that team. But still, you're going to a winning franchise right now.
Man, he went in the first round.
He did. He was the very last pick. Also, a guy that we watched a lot this year in the Big Ten, Terrence Shannon, goes in the first round to the Timberwolves.
Mm-hmm. 27.
That's a team, again, that was
in the dangerous team.
Western Conference Finals, had a chance to go all the way to the finals. They didn't get that done. They lose to the Mavericks, but they're close.
The Timberwolves, they got a big trade. They got the guard from the Spurs, right?
Yep.
Dillingham, is that right?
Yeah. They did.
That was in the draft.
No, listen to you.
Yeah, NBA. It's what
listen
I do.
Listen to you. Yeah. They did.
The Spurs took him and immediately traded him to the T-Wolves after that.
Those moves matter. I mean, the Celtics won an NBA championship because their front office made great moves. The moves that you see now matter. I mean, you don't know if they're going to pan out or they're going to be busts, but they matter. And the Timberwolves appear to be making really good moves. Shannon is 23 years old, by the way. He'll go in there and play, I imagine. Right.
I'd be shocked if he didn't.
Right.
He can run the court. I mean,
you saw him. I say to you guys watched a lot of basketball. You know what's going on. Shannon can guard and he can score. He'll play.
He can put up 40. He can play great defense. That's important.
He can go to the rim.
That team.
Yeah, really.
Goes to the rim.
I think he matches the energy. He matches the energy of Anthony Edwards very well. I mean, mm-hmm. Anthony Edwards is an alpha dude with the Wolves. I
100.
Think Shannon will mesh very, very well with
100.
Him. 100. In that 100. Team. Yeah. So it's fun. The T-Wolves, all of a sudden, are not a joke anymore.
No, they're not.
They were a joke of the league for 20 years. 20. Since Kevin Garnett left to go to Boston. They've been a joke of the league. Now, they might be a favorite to win the conference next year. Yep. With Denver and maybe the Mavericks, obviously.
I get what you're saying, too, Jake, on this draft. There's a lot of players you don't recognize. There's a lot of Euros.
When you read where everyone came from, it's bizarro world.
Where they came from, yeah.
It's like, whoa, where? Where? Even what college they came from.
Sometimes, yeah.
Would either one of us yesterday said, I'm pretty sure Colorado will have two in the top 20? No.
No.
I've never heard of Tristan DeSilva.
No, I have no idea.
I don't think I've heard of him. Maybe Sip, seen him on
You were more in tune to this before than me and Bill. Was this the first overall pick? Was he the likely pick overall?
Yes.
Was this a surprise at all or not?
No surprise.
Okay. This was supposed to be the number one overall pick. The Frenchman.
Yeah, in fact, one and two were projected that way. No surprises there.
I have something else that I think is pretty shocking.
This is idle chit-chat?
Yeah. Idle chit-chat. This shocked me. This took me back. I'm appalled about what's going to happen here, and I don't know if it's whatever you guys think on it. Al Michaels,
AI
has agreed to do
save it.
I haven't read the rundown. I haven't done that.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, don't do that often.
That's appalling.
Well, I want to keep a surprise.
Don't talk. Next segment we'll bring.
You
want to
be spontaneous?
We'll bring up the Al Michaels
for the radio
next segment.
I usually do read. I just didn't last night. A lot of things going on.
Yeah, we'll pause.
I went to Parker's last night.
Which one?
Ashland.
You That's did not.
Spot. Yeah.
That's a great spot.
Yes. I will say this.
You went there, huh?
That everything was great. Service was great. Food was great. We had to meet House Mender's parents, Layton's parents, to talk wedding stuff. So we met out there.
Layton.
So it was just me and Kelly and Shane and Laura. But I don't know if they make it in-house. I could bathe in their blue cheese dressing.
Whoa. Ooh, really?
Whoa.
It is
blue cheese.
It was so good. I had a side salad, and that was my highlight of everything there was.
You didn't embarrass yourself, did you?
What's that? I don't think so. I can, though. I've done it before.
I have to.
Yeah. That's where you were at when they asked if you were, I thought you were working out.
Adam.
Was that Adam? Was that where you were at?
You were standing outside afterwards, and he looked at my belly. He said, I thought you said you were working out.
Come on, man.
I said, I just ate like three things of cornbread. So.
Yeah. Now, I went with the rib tips, and you have to eat them with your hands. You can't.
Oh, the rib tips are really good.
You can't eat them with a fork. And, oh, no.
Oh, God.
No, because there are these little bits of bone with meat on them.
Okay.
So there's no way to. I told him, I said, listen, everybody apologize, but I'm going in hands first.
That's all right. Yeah. I think you're all right. The ribs there are really good. Yep. Like, really.
So it was my first time. I've eaten food from there that had been catered numerous times.
We'll go there sometime. It's a great spot because you get the Highway 6.
Oh, yeah.
Glorious Highway 6.
It's a great highway.
Yeah, you can kind of get your mind right before whoever you got to meet and get your kind of bearings. You know, life moves fast.
You could do a live remote out there. No one would be there, but
we should
do
that.
No, there'd be people.
From the Parker's parking lot or inside the restaurant.
There'd be people there.
We could do that.
There'd be people there. I'm glad you had a good dining experience there.
And the blue cheese dressing. I'd like to know.
Blue cheese.
Do they make it in-house? I want
to
know.
Bill wants to bathe in it.
It's so good.
Wants to bathe in blue cheese.
That should not be your highlight, the salad at a barbecue place, but it really caught me.
Blue cheese.
It really caught me.
See, I won't do blue cheese, but it's fine. I mean, 6:15.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Anything else you have?
No, it's super busy yesterday, but I did prepare for the show. I read the rundown.
Well, the rundown came out as the Parkers.
We will get to the Al Michaels thing next segment. I think we'll have some audio from that also.
Really?
Yeah, it's a weird story.
It's getting weird out there, Bill.
It's getting really weird.
This one's extremely
weird.
When
I heard about it this morning, I was like, I was appalled.
Yep. Yes.
Okay.
So, taken back.
That's a tease.
Next segment.
That is
Idle Chit Chat, sponsored by our friends at Newton's Lawn Care. Please call or text Andrew at 402-440-6297 for all your lawn care needs this summer and going on. So let's get back to the story that just keeps fascinating us in college baseball. That's Jim Schlossnagel. We go back to Monday. Texas A&M loses 6-5 to Tennessee to lose the national championship first ever title for the Volunteers. Would have been the first ever title for A&M in baseball. The next day, Schlossnagel is on to Texas, despite saying in the postgame he's not going anywhere. A&M was his dream job. He's going to be here the rest of his life. He had a press conference yesterday where he was donning the Texas attire. He's the new head coach at Texas. He actually issued an apology to the reporter. I have audio of that, Sip.
Do you? Bill. Good job. Yeah,
thank you to young Ben for cutting
Jake,
this up.
Ben. Yeah.
So Schlossnagel apologized to Richard Zane.
Yes, and here it is right here. Here's the
Texas Ag, or what is it?
TexAgs.com. Here's the apology from Jim Schlossnagel.
When the game ended, I want to publicly apologize to Richard Zane from TexAgs. He's a young reporter. He asked the question. That was an obvious question. I wish I could have answered that better. But in the moment, you know, 30 minutes after the last pitch, all I could think about was our players. And I really wasn't in the mood to talk about myself or the future. So I apologize for that to Richard.
Okay, we got an apology there from Schlossnagel to the reporter.
Kind of an excuse apology.
Pretty average apology.
Yeah, it's pretty average.
Did not feel, there's not one, that did not feel like from the heart, no.
I wondered what you would think. I did when I read it, and I thought the same thing. That it felt like an excuse. I was thinking about my players. No, you weren't.
Doesn't sound like
No, there's no chance.
I don't think you were.
No, because right now he's going like, how is this going to go over tomorrow?
Yeah, that was a half-hearted apology at best.
Now, there's one more thing also from Schlossnagel. He was asked a question. We'll play the question. What did he mislead people through this entire process?
Okay.
Here's Jim Schlossnagel with the question and the answer from him yesterday.
Coach, on Monday night, you said that you went to Texas A&M with the idea of it being a last job. And then you said that your mind hadn't changed beyond that. So, number one, what changed? And then number two, what would you say to those Texas A&M people that supported you that feels like that you intentionally misled them?
Well, I didn't intentionally mislead them. And that's a very fair question for you to ask because that is what I said. In that moment, that's exactly how I felt. At 50 years old, you got to understand, and Chris would probably back me up on this, I love TCU. My children grew up there, Fort Worth. I was there 18 years, and it had to be a very unique situation for me to leave that at 50 years old. I love Coach Garrido, but I hope I get to coach here for a long time, but I don't really have any plans on coaching to 75, 78 years old. So I made that choice because it aligned both personally and professionally with what I had going on at the time. And I loved it. And I dove in with every single ounce of me to help A&M have the very best baseball program it can possibly have. And that investment lasted through the last pitch of the national championship game. It never wavered, not one second. I don't care what anybody says. As Chris likes to say, we have jobs and try to run a business on other people's passion. And if I had left Texas A&M for some other school in a different part of the country, the interesting text messages and messages that I got yesterday probably wouldn't have happened.
There you go. Jim Schlossday, did he mislead people? His comment on that. Now, we had seen an article sent to us on the group chat.
Yes.
That maybe there is some conversation about this being done before the regular season was even over. The regular season, not the postseason, the regular season.
Yeah, that threw a lot of confusion into the whole conversation, right?
It did.
Was he ever asked yesterday in the press conference? Was he asked the question, was this a done deal prior to?
Because here's what the report was. The deal between Texas and Schlossnagel was made before the end of the regular season. It was made after a series against Georgia, and I think there was two other series to go in the season. So it was done. What the report said is the deal was actually done in late April. So I don't know. I don't know if anybody asked him about that or not. That just adds to the confusion. And what I think the problem with Schlossnagel is, and the problem with his press conference after the College World Series game on Monday night, is it's hard to give him the benefit of the doubt on anything now, you know?
And if you come out and say, I absolutely did not have any conversations until this morning.
Tuesday.
And then there's some sort of proof later on that you clearly did.
Ooh.
You know, that's always the thing you go back to, hang on, I actually had conversations about this. Can I track this? Can I do this?
It's hard to believe that there was never a conversation until Tuesday morning. But that's what CDC, Chris Del Conte and Schlossnagel are selling. No, we didn't. Their big thing is, and if you read the article, the ESPN article, they talk about it in depth, that Chris Del Conte drove Tuesday morning to College Station and actually parked in a cemetery for a while to hide in Snook, Texas, which is, I guess, outside College Station, and then drove to his house, drove to Schlossnagel's house, and they hammered out the deal.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And, well, in fact, he lured him. He had to convince him to take the job, and then they got in the car and drove to Austin and hammered out the deal. That's what they say. So it's possible it's true. I mean, it is.
How much are you buying that?
I don't. It usually doesn't work that way.
I don't think so.
Yeah, it's hard to believe.
There was no
contact before.
DeBoer going to Alabama is so different because Saban talks about that he was in a meeting, staff meeting, doing things right up until he went into his staff and said, you know what? I'm going to retire. So DeBoer had no idea when he was coaching in the national championship game against Michigan that, you know what, Alabama, you know, this is way, 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 way different. Mm-hmm. And then like the next day, and then for, again, the timing is, it's hilarious to me that you wouldn't be Texas, just be kind of like, let's just fire our guy on Tuesday or Wednesday. Then we do something with Slosh on Thursday. They fired him on the day of the championship game.
The morning
game. Which exploded for both people. Tony Vitale was also mentioned numerous times mm-hmm. to potentially be the target.
Oh, that's right.
And so immediately, if you're both those head coaches, mm-hmm. can you imagine when that came out and you're at breakfast, you're like going, oh, God.
Right.
Now, there's some people probably like, Vitale's probably like, I don't care what's going on. I'm coming back to Tennessee. So that's what
this
I'm
doing. This is my program. I'm sticking around.
This is what I'm doing. Hmm. But that would be a wow moment.
Yeah. The whole thing is, you don't know who to believe. And I'm telling you that Kendall Rogers report throws a lot of confusion into the whole conversation. I mean, Kendall Rogers is dialed in. He's like the what?
He's D1 baseball. Yeah. Main reporter. Like the dude.
He's Schefter.
Yeah, he's like he's like Schefter of the college baseball.
Absolutely, that is him.
So his report really throws confusion into the whole thing. This could have been done in April, late April. Now, Trev would have been there for a month, by the way, if that was all going on under his watch, that CDC. And Schlossnagel calls him CDC. Again, it freaks me out that all these coaches call him CDC.
The logo.
The logo. I got to go talk to the logo.
C.D. Schlossnagel calls him my man CDC.
This was done in April.
This possibly, according to Kendall Rogers, was done like April 28th, in that late April, early May time frame. Trev would have been there for a month in that situation when CDC might have been operating behind the scenes.
It's been fun to see the social media posts about Trev Alberts from A&M fans. They're handling it very well down there.
Oh, yeah.
They're taking this very well.
There's some funny stuff.
Hated rival.
Yes.
It's an amazing story, and the ESPN article points out that throughout the history of that rivalry, you don't see coaches going from one of those places to the other.
You don't
other.
See it, no.
And Schlossnagel just did it and was brazen about it. And I'm telling you, I don't think he comes out of this. He looks like a villain. I mean, I think forevermore he looks like a villain, you know.
Have you ever wanted Texas baseball to lose?
Now
would be
this
now.
Is the time. Yeah. This is the time.
They're clearly all alone in this fight, and they're fine with that.
I think they probably are, and they're probably really good too. Yeah. And Schlossnagel, his record is his record. He's really good.
Really good.
Yeah. I mean, he can get away with being kind of an ass because he's really good.
Yeah. He had a lot of success at TCU
and UNLV. Yeah,
and UNLV.
Yeah, he's been good. His
he's
record
very successful
is,
coach.
Yeah, his record's crazy good. I have his
what,
record.
Was it in that report, Sip, that A&M players claimed he was recruiting to Texas during the season at all or not?
No, that wasn't.
Someone said it might be a different report.
That might have been a different report. But his overall record's 945 and 451.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, he wins. He's 59 and 36 in the NCAA tournament. Yeah. That's another number. Yeah. Think about that.
Say that again. Yeah.
59 and 36 in the NCAA tournament. I mean, that's a lot of games.
Good.
He's winning a lot.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. So there you go.
Schlossnagel, the new head coach of Texas.
Do people think we're talking about Schlossnagel too much at this point?
It's a fascinating offseason story.
Like I said, if he left to go to USC, not a fascinating story. It's kind of it's odd, whatever you can say. But the two, especially with the combination of Texas coming into the SEC.
Yes.
So now we're back in the same. Before the flex was A&M's like, we're in the SEC.
Yeah.
You're in the Big 12. No. Don't even talk to me. Yeah. Don't talk to me.
Now?
Now it's like, uh-oh. There's been a change.
Yeah.
There's been a change.
I believe there's like been five players who are already going to Texas.
Seven.
Up to seven now.
Oh, in the portal. Okay. A&M players in the portal.
I think they're believed to go to Texas.
Oh, likely. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I think at least majority of them are believed to go to Texas to follow him. To Texas, if that's
what
not
a fun.
Yet.
I'll be honest with you. Thank you for doing this. It's June. It's late June. There's not a lot going on.
Oh,
this made things really fun for radio.
Yeah, this is.
Thank
great.
You.
Thank you, Schlossnagel.
You know what? Too,
I do. I thank him.
You
for
know
this.
What? People will keep digging into it. I mean, there'll be more that comes out of it.
Yeah, there'll be some. What they're digging into the most now is some way to prove that these conversations were going on,
and maybe the deal was done.
Yeah,
that's what.
In late April. It's late June. It's 2 months ago. The deal was done, potentially.
I mean, Kendall Rogers, he went out and reported it. It's not, I mean, he reported it.
Yeah. He's the top reporter
in college baseball. This is the Woj of NBA.
This is what's happened. What are the chance that he's wrong is almost none.
I know. It's just.
But if you try to convince the world, it's like all of a sudden it's Tuesday morning. It's like, talking to his wife. Look at this. CDC's going. What are he's up to? What? Well, I don't know. I've never even thought about it.
Now, you guys, Bill, you've asked about public records requests.
Yeah.
This is when you do it.
Yeah, this would be one.
Yeah, this is when you go to Texas and you want all the emails, any correspondences between Chris Del Conte.
It would have to be complete buffoonery if there's anything.
Right.
Because it's like if you really use the
wouldn't be an email.
An email or your
I think you get text though.
Or a phone from of how that stuff comes up.
It'd be complete buffoonery. And it could get, if they did it, it could be kind of hilarious just to see it. But that will happen. I guarantee you.
The research will be there'll be someone's trying to find the smoking gun.
Yeah, because it's Houston. It's the Houston Chronicle, and it's the Austin American Statesman. Yeah. They don't play around.
No,
they still go at it. You know, those are still institutions that go at it. Kendall Rogers will keep going at it because people are gonna question his credibility a little bit. Like, what are you saying? So it's not over. Yeah. It's not over.
Pretty bold report, Kendall. Really bold report.
Really bold.
Very bold. Before I get to break, also in the recruiting world, it's Nebraska recruiting news. Not great. Dawson Merritt commits to Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
The linebacker from Overland Park, Kansas.
Yeah. That slipped by me yesterday. I just saw it on my text. Yeah.
So Dawson Merritt going to Alabama.
He would have been good. They needed – you could always use a Dawson Merritt. They need some linemen right now. Offensive. But, yeah.
There we go.
Thank you for that news.
Well, I'm let people know. People have to know that.
Absolutely.
Keep in the loop there.
Absolutely.
We're not down on you. Alabama.
No, I'm not down on you. Oh. I was a little down on your draft take.
Well, I just thought that was funny. The free throws were
in
the montage.
The free throw's funny.
I want you guys to rewatch the video. They showed free throws very early in his montage.
If you take a running back, eighth overall, and you show him running inside zone for 4 yards. So it's like, okay, well, that's not really the highlight you're going to show when he gets drafted.
Schlossnagel to Texas. A texter says it would be like Rule replacing Ferentz at Iowa.
Ugh.
Kind of.
That'd be great. Repulsive.
Yeah, it'd be repulsive. Not as energy charge, though.
Speaking of repulsive, when we come back, Al Michaels, fake Al Michaels, a part of the Olympics? What are we talking about?
Can't believe I almost blew that.
We'll discuss this next in an early break on the ticket.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.